In addition, there's a series of constraints on it. One of them is, there's an amount of time he's got, and then he's got to go back to the people. Another is, he has to do things that are lawful, and he doesn't get to make the laws. And so a constitutional executive is a very powerful thing, operating under the constraints and for the purposes of the Constitution of the United States.
This Constitution Minute was brought to you by Hillsdale College. To receive a free pocket constitution and declaration, go to constitutionminute.com.
The currently 8-member Supreme Court punts on a controversial Obamacare challenge. USA's Chris Barnes has details from Washington.
We obviously were pleased with the announcement from the Supreme Court today.
Presidential spokesman Josh Earnest, after justices on the nation's high court sidestep a major ruling on Obamacare, a case involving Christian organizations that sued because they're forced to include birth control in the health plans offered to female workers. The justices kicking the case back to lower courts for more work. The justices claiming there's room for compromise between religious objectors and the Obama administration.
In Washington, for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Exercise could reduce the risk for more than a dozen different types of cancer. Research out of the University of North Carolina finds that stacking up hours of physical activity can lower risk for even the most common types of cancer, including breast, colon, and lung. This is USA Radio News.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Voters in Oregon and Kentucky head to the polls today. Democrats and Republicans voting in Oregon, while the Kentucky contest is only for Democrats. Housing starts are up sharply. Figures out today from the Commerce Department show housing starts hit an annualized rate of 1.172 million in April. That's more than the improvement housing industry analysts were forecasting. Housing starts had fallen pretty dramatically in March. Twitter is getting ready to give users more space for longer messages, USA's Anthony Lucero reports.
Bloomberg News reports that the social media company will soon stop counting links and photos as part of its 140-character limit on messages. The change is designed to give users more flexibility and could take effect within the next couple of weeks, and that's according to Bloomberg. CEO Jack Dorsey said earlier this year that Twitter was looking for new ways to display text and will experiment in line with how people are using the site. I'm Anthony Lucero.
A 90-year-old Flint, Michigan native is being credited for his service as one of the first African-American men to join the U.S. Marines. John W. Jordan was presented this week with the Congressional Gold Medal, which is the highest civilian award in the U.S. Most of Jordan's time during World War II was spent in Hawaii, where he serviced aircraft. He was honorably discharged in 1946, then graduated from high school and worked for 30 years at a United Auto Workers plant. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, it's Joe Peters here with Real Estate Matters. I'm with Weichert in Clinton, and I cover residential real estate over the Hunterdon and Somerset County areas. We're going to be getting started talking about some trends that we're seeing within the county, and then my guest today will be Al War. Al's on hold, and we're going to play a commercial or two, and before I do that, I'm going to give you the weather so that you understand what's going on outside right now. It's a little bit, you know, it's a little bit of rain in the air, but it's not supposed to hold. It's supposed to clear up before nighttime. And then we're going to have, we're 57 degrees now. We're looking at 73 degrees tomorrow, 78 on Friday. So it's going to get warmer, and then some rain again on Saturday, and get down into the mid-60s. So Joe Peters, and we'll get started in a minute.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntonChamberRadio.com app today.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program, no drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost resonant frequency technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
Hello again. This is Joe Peters of Real Estate Matters, and on the phone, I hope, is Al War. Al, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, oh, good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm on the other end of this line, whatever it is.
What I'm thinking about doing today, Al, is first of all, I know you're on other programs throughout the week, and some people know you and some people don't. I first got to meet you by reading an article that you had done in a Democrat. I thought we'd talk a little about your background and tell us how you got to the point where you're writing articles for the Democrat.
Well, I tell you, Joe, I go back to the 1970s. You're gonna betray how old I am here with this. I was living in New York, had a business there. My wife and I used to, you know, flee the city every weekend, and one of the places she always wanted to go was Flemington.
Wow.
And do the outlet business.
Okay.
You know, I had very little interest in the outlets, but she was intrigued with the outlets, and so we would drive to Flemington and do that bit, and then on to New Hope and have dinner and go back to the city. But I became intrigued with Hunterdon then, and then in the late 80s, when I decided to sell the business and retire, I looked around, and Hunterdon was the first place I looked for, moving to.
Okay.
And that was the late 80s. Unfortunately for Hunterdon in this conversation, I decided against Hunterdon and moved to Pennsylvania, where I've lived ever since.
Whereabouts in Pennsylvania? Just into PA?
Yeah, literally over the river. I can almost see the river from my house.
Neat. And we see a lot of people from Hunterdon in their later years doing that as well, where the cost of living is a little less expensive, yet you're still near everything.
Let me correct you there. It's a lot less expensive.
Okay. I was being kind.
Yeah. I have two neighbors who moved from Hunterdon here. And another neighbor across the street moved here from Manhattan, and the tax base in New Jersey is just incredible compared to Pennsylvania, as well as the other things, the utilities, the services, and so forth. Everything is cheaper over here. But I don't mean to be promoting Easton, or where I live, or Pennsylvania in general, but Hunterdon still intrigues me, and I have kept up with it over the years. In fact, when I retired, as I said, I moved to Pennsylvania, but retirement lasted about 2 weeks. And I had to get back into something, so I started the Business Owners Institute. It was in Bridgewater, and worked with businesses all over New Jersey, as well as a dozen other states, small businesses, people with, 1, 2, 6, 10, 20 employees, that kind of thing, trying to help them promote and grow and so forth. So I became very familiar with Hunterdon since I was in Bridgewater. Most of the members were close by in that area. But Hunterdon has long intrigued me, and nowadays I write a weekly column for the Hunterdon Democrat.
Yep, I went through a list
of small businesses again, the whole time.
went through a list of some of the things that you've written. You've written everything from car shows to some of the issues to some of the things to do downtown to some of the things that are going on. It seems like you do have a love for Hunterdon.
Yeah. I've been intrigued with Hunterdon and also with the surrounding counties, but primarily focused on Hunterdon. And a lot of that has had to do with economic development, which I think is the piece that you read and called
right.
me about originally. But economic development is a is an area that has long intrigued me. And I, for example, worked with the small business development centers at Warren County Community College and Raritan College, and also was at Kane University, and for a while sat on the committee, marketing committee at Rutgers, to help farm markets and farmers get established with farm markets. This was back in the early 90s, so it's been some time ago, but all of it went toward economic development of the area, and my focus was usually on Hunterdon County.
Well, good to
just
hear.
The way things developed.
Yeah, you know, it's hard not to love Hunterdon. I mean, we moved here about 18 years ago, and we were looking to get more into the country and out of, we were in Middlesex
yeah.
County, which wasn't so terribly complex. It's a lot different today, 18 years later. But then sure. it was, it's just time to go turn left at the cows, right at the horses kind of living. And that's what Hunterdon had to offer for us.
Yeah, it certainly had that appeal for many, many people. There was a big growth phase in the 80s and 90s.
Right.
And now it's turned into is fast turning into a decline phase is the way I see it. And something needs to be done.
I agree, and I see the same thing. It seems to me that what we're observing, and I'm in real estate, so I'm watching what's happening, and
sure.
we're sort of, I'm half Polish, and I can tell this joke, it's like a Polish bridge builder, where one half of the bridge is way up here, and the other half of the bridge is way down there, and trying to get the two ends to meet, it seems like we're building and have availability on very high-priced, high-tax housing.
Right.
Which supported a lifestyle of up to 10 years ago. And today it seems to be less and less demand at that higher level. The demand is at, we built in the fives and the sixes and the sevens, and now the demand seems to be in the threes and the fours, and we don't have
sure.
enough over there.
Sure.
So,
And I think it's headed in my view, I think it's headed in more that direction than the other, unless, as I said, something is done. Now, what can be done, it means that you got to focus on high-paying jobs and bring them into the county.
Right.
It seems to me that's my prescription for the ills of the county. You can't promote Hunterdon entirely on tourism, although there's a lot of good things happening and can happen.
Right.
But high-paying jobs, you know, when Merck closed and moved away, all those people didn't live in Hunterdon, but many of them did, and maybe some of them still do. I don't know what has happened, but Merck went off to move to Summit, and that lasted about a year, and then they moved to Kenilworth or Rahway or somewhere up there.
Right.
With all those good jobs, and you need high-paying jobs. People who make $100,000 plus,
yes,
you're not going to find that with small businesses in general.
In general,
yeah, in general, and you're not going to find it with tourism. You're going to find it with high-paying jobs, with people that need the goods and services on a local level and can
right.
support the.
But
the county going forward.
The bedroom community sort of serves that a little bit, because when I first started coming
yeah.
here, I was working either out of the New York area or getting on a plane.
Sure.
So this was my bedroom community. I spent the evenings, the weekends, the nights I was home, at least, because I traveled a lot. But it also afforded me the ability to be at Newark Airport in 45 minutes or into New York in an hour if there was no traffic, and there's never no traffic, so it always took a little
yeah.
longer. it doesn't seem to be doing that even anymore, Al. That's what bothers me, I guess, is what made the migration towards Hunterdon County as a bedroom community sort of slow down, if not stop?
Well, part of it has to do with the national economy and the local economy, which, you know, when big companies decide to move and leave, then they take those high-paying jobs with them.
Right.
And unless you're highly focused and working toward replacing that, then your area is going to go into decline. It's just simple economics.
Well, and Merck is a good example because it's a company that's recently left over the last 3 years or so. And yeah. I know that they're trying to rent out some of that space. And even if they're renting it out, it's not going to be another Merck. They're sort of multiplexing it from what I hear. So it's going to be smaller companies in a corporate-type atmosphere.
Yeah, yeah.
But I'm also hearing good things like mobile may be bringing people back into the area. So that's a yay if that happens.
That would be a good thing, yeah.
Right. But it still seems to me like there's a leap of faith in living in Hunterdon County. One of them, a leap that is sort of, I can afford to live there because it is more expensive. There's no two ways about it.
Sure.
But I can also use it as my base and get to where I need to go to earn a living.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that that leap of faith is rapidly diminishing. It's not where it once was, and I think it's the national economy. If you're absolutely correct, because even a New Jersey economy is not doing really well. It's improving. Right. We're going in the right direction, but
it's not doing as well as it should be doing.
No, it's by no means back to where the whole country is.
Yeah. Well, this might take years to solve the problem. Who knows? I tend to think that the focus should be on bringing in companies that occupy office space. I mean, big companies like Merck or labs that offer high-paying jobs, which will attract new people into the county who can afford the $500,000-$700,000 houses.
Right. Even when you get to the apartment level, and I've recently done a study for this on a project that I'm working on, which I don't intend to get into on this show, but I can use some of these statistics. An average one-bedroom apartment in Hunterdon County is somewhere in the $1,400 range, and a two-bedroom more in the $1,600 to $1,800 range, and we don't have a lot of them.
Right.
So
there's not a lot of them available.
That's the bare minimum to get started, and if you're going to spend $1,700-$1,800 on a two-bedroom apartment, and that's going to be somewhere between 30% and 40% of your total gross, which is the rule of thumb, then you have to make somewhere around $50,000 to do that.
At least. Yeah.
At least. And you cannot easily make $50,000 in Hunterdon County, so you have to go to the east to make that. And when you get to the east, let's say you go all the way to New York City. If you go all the way to New York City, you're more than likely going to say, why am I coming all the way back to Hunterdon County? Especially if you're a millennial, somebody.
Millennials that don't want that. They don't want that long commute.
No, they don't. And they don't. They really don't want home ownership to start with.
I think you're right there. Run into people all the time who confirm that they want walkable communities.
Yes,
whether they're renting or owning or condos or co-ops or whatever it entails, they want to be able to walk to work. They want to be able to walk to the local cafe or whatever they're doing, and they don't want to be driving to the suburbs. It's a change in attitude that we're seeing, especially the millennials.
What I'm witnessing, and I onboard a lot of first-time buyers into Hunterdon County as a real estate agent, and what I'm witnessing is that the people coming into Hunterdon County are the people that are nesting. They've either had their first child or are just about to have their first child, maybe working on the second at this point in time, and are looking for a better quality of life. Those are the people that are buying, and those people are typically buying in the $300,000, $400,000 range.
The lower end.
The lower end. And what we were building for years and years and years were the fives, sixes, and sevens. We're probably now the fours, fives, and sixes because they've been tougher to sell.
Yeah, they're tough to sell.
So I know I listened to an inventory or a real estate valuationist named Jeff Otto. I subscribe to his services and go to his seminars. And actually have talked to him in conjunction with a few things on this. And he said it's changed. He referred me back to a report that the Rutgers people wrote called The Receding Urban Perimeter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen that report.
I haven't seen it, no.
Yeah, but I heard them talk in Somerset County, and it's this problem, by the way, is not just Hunterdon County. Somerset County is suffering.
It's same thing. Yeah.
Same effect, maybe a little less immediacy of it, but it's happening because the Somerset County Board of Chamber of Commerce had a meeting at Bridgewater Golf Club, and these guys addressed that meeting, and it was really interesting, and they were two professors from Rutgers who had written this report, and they were saying that this is an example. We talk about the walkability factor, and walkability is key because that is what millennials want. And it's what we used to want was to take the train or bus, get off it, and then drive another 20 minutes to go home. It's not what we want today. We want to get off the train, stop at a Starbucks, pick up a loaf of French bread, and walk home.
And be home in 3 minutes.
In 3 minutes. And we just don't offer that in Hunterdon County.
Yeah.
So their observation was, in looking at the same situation in Somerset County, was, well, Somerville is leaning in that direction. It's a home run to Newark on a train line. You can get off the train, stop and get a Starbucks and a loaf of bread and walk home. So what they did in Somerset County was they built some high-rise 1- and 2-bedroom apartments so that you didn't have a long walk. You couldn't get wet if it was raining. It was right near the train station.
Yeah.
And they brought a whole bunch of people 2 years out of college, if I remember the story, in to look at it, and after them looking the apartments over and sort of getting back on the bus to go back, they sort of discovered that there was some disillusion. It wasn't like happy feet. It was more like, I don't know. So on the exit interviews, they discovered that these people were thinking $1,300 to $1,400 for a one-bedroom apartment, and they had built them at $1,800. And it was a mismatch. It's back to my Polish bridge building. And once again, folks, I'm half Polish. I can tell this story.
Yeah. you got to match your construction, your development to the market.
To the market. And what I was in a process of interviewing some people at the township level, and one of them lived in Somerset and was very close to this problem and said, Joe, it hasn't resolved. You haven't seen it in 2 years. We still have vacant, beautiful vacant apartments that people can't afford. So I sell across Hunterdon and I sell across Somerset, and I drive down 206 into Hillsboro, and they're putting up apartments like it was mass production.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, self, that's what I call me, I wonder what these guys are renting for. I wonder if they're...
What do they rent for?
Yeah. So I got online and looked it up, and a one-bedroom apartment is $1,700.
Huh.
It's beautiful. It's an executive-level one-bedroom apartment. But in order to earn, as a single person, enough money to afford a one-bedroom apartment using that 30 to 40% rate, and where does that come from? If you go for a mortgage, they call it the back-end ratio. You could only get a mortgage up to 40%, 3% of your gross income. They'd prefer it to be under 40. Above that, you need things to pay taxes. You need discretionary. You need grocery money. You need car money. So that's about all you can afford. So if you took 35% of $50,000, that's a one-bedroom apartment. It seems like And unless I'm missing something, and I'm not perfect, then I may be, they are still building the wrong dollar size apartment. It's probably the perfect size. It's just the wrong dollars.
It's the wrong dollars, yeah. Sounds like they haven't matched to the market. You know, the market rules. In everything, you can't start a bakery unless you investigate the market first.
Right.
You can't build houses unless you match it to the market, or you're not going to sell them. You're going to go bankrupt.
Yep.
It still goes back, it seems to me, for Hunterdon to, and maybe Somerset as well, to create high-paying jobs so that the people can afford to live in whatever they want to live in, be it the suburban home or the apartments that are overpriced at this level. But you're not going to find people currently in Hunterdon County who can afford to live in the real estate that has been built here.
Right. I agree. Al, I'm going to interrupt and go to a few commercials, and I'll be right back.
Sure.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
So, this is Joe Peters back with Al War, and we're talking about some of the mismatches that we're seeing in Hunterdon County and the cost of housing and the availability of housing to the people that need it. Al, the problem is very, very easy to identify, but it seems to be very, very elusive to resolve.
I think you're right. I was talking with Matthew Holt.
Right.
And he was giving me some figures. In fact, I wrote about it in early April there. He said that back in 1980, the median age in Hunterdon was 32. Today, it's 44.
Wow.
The population is, in addition, declining. And there are growing numbers of empty nesters and retirees among the residents. So that means fewer children and declining school enrollments, which we readily see. I mean, it's
right.
Just there. So the problem is not just the cost of housing, it goes way beyond that. It goes to the point of, as I said before, having high-paying technical-type jobs. I'm not talking about copper mines here.
Right.
That will support the lifestyle that most people in Hunterdon appreciate and want to maintain. But without high-paying jobs on a local basis, not a commuter community, but a local basis to satisfy the millennials, then I think everything else is in vain, frankly.
Well,
I don't know about the types of jobs I'm talking about are high-paying technical jobs. Pharmaceuticals is a good example.
Right.
But we've lost the pharmaceuticals. So with Merck gone, the jobs went with them. Now, what they're doing to repopulate that big campus, you mentioned that they were putting in some sort of stopgap measures, it sounds like. But we need to be concentrating, it seems to me, to stabilize Hunterdon. You need high-paying technical computer-driven computer jobs or manufacturing jobs that utilize 3D printing, additive manufacturing. I mean, this is a hot area right now, and there are all kinds of startups that could be attracted to the county. They will grow with it. Or something more mundane, like a beer brewery.
Right.
You know, there are all kinds of things you can do and identify, but it seems that we are focusing more on other things. I read a telling piece recently about the Union Hotel in Flemington.
Yes.
And they were talking about the plan that is currently, I think, on the table would be restaurants, retail space, I'm reading here, a plaza, housing, a college, and underground parking. Well, who the hell is going to take advantage of all of that if you don't have high-paying jobs in the community or in the surrounding area that will go to these restaurants and retail spaces? If you're going to create a hotel in Flemington, who's going to stay there? I mean, when people came to visit the Merck facility, they needed a place to stay. I understand that.
Right.
But would they, you know, that place is gone. Maybe AM Best has some people who come and would stay at the Union Hotel, but how many can there be? There's just not that much. I don't know. I don't even know why they're talking about the Union Hotel as a hotel, frankly. You could turn it into something else, maybe low-rent condos for millennials.
Well, and that's one of the things that keeps coming up. I mean, that your point is very well taken on that, is who's going to stay there, who's going to move there. Because they're talking about three different things, four really, if you include the restaurants. One is the hotel, one is a college of some sort, and one is housing, new housing. And then to service all of that would be stores and restaurants, and they were talking about a common liquor license, which is always that elusive thing because they're very expensive. They could serve all of those functions. It seemed like a well-thought-out solution for having people in Flemington and reviving part of Flemington, having them there on a round-the-clock basis. But your question is well-poised, and that, well, who is going to stay there on a round-the-clock basis?
Who will come?
Who will come?
Who will support all of that? You don't have any way to support it, it seems to me. I tell you, I did a Google search recently on office space that is listed. I mean, this is your area, not mine. But office space in Flemington, there must have been two dozen or maybe even three dozen things listed in the Flemington area. Clinton had fewer, and Lambertville had fewer, but Flemington was, I mean, it's just wide open for small retail shops, restaurants, eateries, whatever, to support people who are coming in, not people who are already there, and certainly not tourists. You can't draw enough tourists to Flemington
right.
to support that kind of thing.
Well, it's interesting because there seems to be a dichotomy of need here. One is to have the upper end. People can afford to buy the houses. People can afford to stay at the hotel. And there also is a lower end, which is somewhere between minimum wage and twice minimum wage, which is probably what we would consider the service industry through skilled labor.
You will always attract those people, no matter what you bring in.
And trades.
But you have to have the high-end stuff to turn Hunterdon around.
To pull it through, right.
Yeah, I don't see that. I don't see that happening otherwise.
What about...
There's another problem that we haven't touched on, and that is all the rules and regulations that these towns and townships and communities impose on small business. One of the best examples I know is the New Jersey Tubing Company, the people who go tubing down the Delaware.
Okay.
Which, they've been trying to get a location that would work for them for 2-3 years now. They tried Frenchtown, they tried Kingwood Township, now they're trying Alexandria Township. And the thing that that Alexandria Township has done now is they've imposed a $2,000 a day fine on them for operating a business not allowed in the zone. Now this is counterproductive. What does a planning board do if they don't try to promote the businesses that are trying to get up and running? I don't understand that. I never have. There's too much bureaucracy and too many people trying to tell you what to do as opposed to helping you do what you want to do.
Well, I think one of the beautiful things about Hunterdon County is that we have 26 different municipalities that all pretty much get along nicely with each other, but they're all pretty much governed independently of each other, and there doesn't seem to be a master direction that they all fit into.
Well, I'm not advocating a master plan, or certainly not an overall plan there for zoning type thing. I think it really should be local, and I'm not against zoning. I'm all for it. But it seems that the people who are doing the zoning and the planning don't really understand that the purpose here is to increase the business activity and the number of businesses in the municipality, not to put the rules and regulations to the point. I know a major developer, who completely moved out of New Jersey and into the Lehigh Valley because he said, I cannot deal with all the rules and regulations because the people don't help me meet the rules and regulations and the zoning restrictions. They seem to think that their job is to stop me.
Right.
So, I mean, you run into that when you're building houses as well. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Right, and it's not just Hunterdon County. I know.
It's everywhere.
Right. I have my little red Corvette, I call it. I take my Corvette to get detailed every two years down in Bridgewater, Branchburg area. And these guys that are doing it are coming in from New York. It's a business set up here by two guys out of the Bronx, I think. And they're telling me about what they have to go through to put a sign out in front of their store.
The sign
cannot be on the road. It has to be set back. It has to be a certain size. It can't be in contract. They went on and on and on, and I'm saying this isn't business development. This is business deterrent.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's not just Hunterdon. It's all areas. And
Well, as I said, I'm certainly not for doing away with zoning laws or the planning people. But it seems to be a lack of working with the business to get done what needs to be done in order to get the tax base to pay your salary on the planning board or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know.
The ratables, the tax ratable, I don't know what Reddington Township is facing dire straits, I suppose. They've just been ruled against in Superior Court about taking over Sulphur Airport.
Right.
And the Merck campus there is limping along. I suppose Merck is still paying the tax bill. I don't know. But what has Reddington done about attracting another business to take over? Have they talked to another pharmaceutical company about moving into those facilities? You know, it's not entirely up to Merck, is what I'm saying.
No.
It's entirely up to the local people who are going to lose the tax ratables if Merck just abandons the property. I don't think they'll do that. They won't. They're not going to do that.
But yeah, my understanding is they're going to keep some people on in various capacities, but not ever to where it once was.
Not to what it once was.
Once was. And then
you need to fill that building up with high-paying jobs.
But look at some of the things that are going right in Hunterdon County. It seems to me that retail and restaurants and hotels are working, but they're not supplying the jobs that you're talking about.
They're not going to supply those jobs. They can't. It's not in the business model.
And if the people that are getting educated within Hunterdon County and outside of Hunterdon County are moving to the east to find jobs in the New York or the New York area,
then they're going to move east to be close.
They're going to move east. And my observation, once again, as a realtor onboarding people into Hunterdon County, is they don't come back. The people that come here are people who are looking for quality of life and are not the people that have left. They're people that have studied the state and said, here's one of the spots I can live. So I think attracting more people here could be an answer, but you can only attract more people here through bedroom community jobs back into the more populated areas. What you're saying is we need jobs here as well.
We need jobs in Hunterdon. And high-paying jobs, not restaurant jobs.
So we do have a few. I mean, there are some in healthcare seems to be doing very well.
Yeah.
There's some pockets of manufacturing, and there's some industries, real estate for one. I mean, we employ between Hunterdon and Somerset County, we have about 2,000 realtors. They all earn a living doing, so there's some business out there. It's
not
just
enough.
Not enough to solve the problems that we're talking about.
Maybe not even turn around, just stabilize it.
That's a good word, because I think by the time we understand what happened, it happened 2 years ago, because we need to add the numbers up and get them published and vetted and everything. And then in 2016, we found that we lost some people in 2014. It was and that 15 went on and 16's half over. So it's sort of leaning into it is the issue. What do you see happening in Hunterdon from the overseers in Hunterdon as to solving this? You had written a little bit about the fellow you mentioned earlier.
Well, yeah, Matt Holt and Suzanne Legay have been the sort of point couple.
Okay.
On the comprehensive economic development strategies that they have honchoed through. And it's been 2 years in the making, and now they're in the process of going out to each municipality or township or whatever to explain where we are and what needs to be done. Now, the point person in all of this is a new guy on board in the planning department called Mark Saluk. I'm not sure.
Yes, I met Mark.
Did you?
Yeah, he interviewed me to understand what was going on real estate-wise.
Okay. He seems to have a good background.
I agree.
From where he came from, and I think he's on the right. I think he's the right type of person to be the point person on this to develop all kinds of relationships, both political as well as bringing in industry.
Right.
Which he has a background of having done that in Ohio, I understand.
So I hear a lot about stopping the millennials from leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're here to start with, because once they come through high school and maybe work in a retail or a restaurant job,
they're gone.
They're gone. They're going.
That's the reason I say it goes to the proper focus. It seems to me is to bring in high-paying jobs that will attract young people from all over, not just locally.
Right. So you don't see it as...
If you have a biotech firm suddenly take over the Merck campus, or if you have a big 3D printing operation, and that, I mean, those, that's a clean operation. It's not it's manufacturing, but it's they manufacture things for healthcare and automotive and aerospace and everything else. Even jewelry is manufactured these days 3D printing.
That's amazing. I've seen that in action, and if you've not had the opportunity, go into the Microsoft store in the Bridgewater Mall and watch it.
Yeah.
It's poetry in motion.
There you go.
So this is Joe Peters at Real Estate Matters talking to Al War, who writes for the Democrat and has been intimately involved in our county over the last 20 or 30 years. I've been here 18 years. We're both very interested in caring, and we're just talking about identifying some of the issues that we have and what some of the possible resolvements to those issues are. I'm going to break to a few more paid commercials, and we'll be back in 2 minutes.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Hey, Pat. You know, between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb.
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Huntington Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Huntington Healthcare, your full circle of care.
So it's Joe Peters and Al War, probably about two-thirds through our conversation, or maybe three-quarters. I see, if I was to describe it in one sentence, Al, I see the 35 and under going to the east. I see the 65 and over going to the west or south. And I see the people in the middle, the 35, the 65s, gradually getting older. That's Huntington County.
And wondering how they're going to sell their house.
And wondering how they're going to sell their house. And we're already experiencing a very soft market in the above 500. It almost gets worse monthly. You can still sell a house, but you're not getting any appreciation. And it's not like if you go to Somerset County, it solves itself, because I also sell in Somerset County, and the same problem is happening there, just not as to the great extent that it's happening here.
Not
so
to the extent that it's Huntington,
Yep. So what we're seeing are people wanting to stay to the east because they are a little more used to dense neighborhoods, which we don't have, and they're, because of their ethnic backgrounds, falling in love with places like Bridgewater, which is fairly dense compared to Huntington County, or even into Union and Middlesex counties. It's a paradigm shift from where we were 30 years ago, where people were discovering Somerset and then Huntington County and moving out. I wouldn't say in droves, but in a constant number. Now it's like the tide went out, the tide goes back. And that's what we're starting to see. And that's what this comprehensive, I don't want to give it the wrong name. Let me just read the title. The Rutgers Receding Metropolitan Perimeter Report. You can have just go out and Google that. It's an 18-point page right up on the situation, and print it out. So, Al, jobs, high-paying jobs. What is the very first thing you would think we would have to do in order to make that start happening?
I think the first thing to do is give Mark Saluk all the tools he needs, and wish him well as he goes and tries to recruit big companies to move to Hunterdon.
Right.
Is what I would do. You only need one if it's big enough, or if Mobil can be talked into putting another plant here of some sort, a research lab or whatever they have. I'm not talking about industry in the old sense of the word, but the new industries, like in Silicon Valley. I'm not saying that Hunterdon will ever become a Silicon Valley, but
right.
there's a lot of technology firms, computing technology firms, that are all over the country, and there's no reason why one can't be in Hunterdon County, or several. If you start to concentrate on that industry with high tech and fill up the Merck campus with these types of things, one of them is likely to explode into a bigger operation. And all of these types of companies have high-paying jobs which support the area. And all of a sudden, there'll be a demand for those $600,000 houses.
Now, it seems to me like Somerset County has sort of done a little of this. They have this project over in the 287 corridor area.
That 287 is, corridor, yeah.
It's sort of self-contained. You could live, work, eat in a general area. And it's one of those old, there was a word for it, but I saw this project about the 10 biggest real estate trends that ever happened. And one was the corn cob buildings on, I guess it's Wacker Drive in Chicago along the river. They were self-contained. You could move in there, and everything you needed, unless you wanted to leave to go to work or do something, was in there.
Was right there.
Was right there. Hunterdon County's infrastructure misses the transportation factor, and you really need a car to get around. And cars are not cheap. I've seen some interesting things happen recently that I think offer encouragement. One is, and it's encouragement from the bottom up, not from the top down. I've toured both the Polytech and the high school system here in Hunterdon, and I went over and did Raritan Valley as well as part of this other project I'm working on. And I see the identification of skills needed in the area and education happening to support the needs that are in the area, the needs that are needed, but by manufacturers, because they've got this this program going on at Raritan Valley that is supported by the local industries to grow the talent that is needed. But that talent isn't going to be able to afford the $500,000 house for a while, if ever.
There's some good things going on at Polytech and Raritan, especially when they work together.
Very impressive. I interviewed Kim Metz, and she told me that 70% of the Polytech graduates go on to a four-year degree.
Mm-hmm.
That's an impressive number.
Sure.
But now when I graduated, a four-year degree was like, wow, he's a college grad. Today, that's all you got. You need a master's. You need a doctorate. So the demands are much higher than they were 30, 40 years ago.
Yeah.
But we're doing the right thing from the bottom up. We're helping people get employed in a county. We're helping the county from the bottom up find the employees that it needs. We're still probably a little short on the unskilled because it's very hard to be able to afford to live here as an unskilled unless you're the child of a parent that's already living here and you just work in a service industry. But eventually you're going to go off to college or migrate east. So it's a fleeting fix. It's not a permanent fix. But the trades, building up manufacturing, people that are going to be able to fill the jobs within Hunterdon and Somerset County, and Raritan Valley serves both counties, that seems to be in hand. So we're able to fill in that base of, let's say, from minimum wage to twice minimum wage, maybe the $20 an hour. That's roughly a $40,000 a year job, and that's fine. But we don't seem to be accomplishing, other than what I've recently heard about Mobil, getting the $70,000 and $80,000 jobs, which is the four-year college graduate.
And those are the types of people you need.
Do you need them? It's almost like you need to get back to let's build it up another level from the two times the minimum wage, and then let's, as you said, get the jobs that can draw the four-year college grads back into the area. It's a, it's an intriguing.
Sure. Think what would happen in your business if suddenly there were a company took over the Merck complex and hired 1,000 people, and all of them made more than $100,000 a year.
Wow. Wow.
So what would happen? I mean, there you are. That's the answer.
Yep. And as I, when I sat and I talked to Mark when he interviewed me 2 weeks ago, I've told him I've taken my business to the east. I now cover all the way out to Warren Township.
Yeah.
That's exit 36 on 78, and we're at 15 in Clinton, and there's still another 15 miles before you get to Pennsylvania. But yeah. I'm finding there's not enough business here in Hunterdon County. I'm moving to the east but staying in Hunterdon County. A lot of people are moving to the east and leaving Hunterdon County, and that's the scary part of this. Al, it's
especially when your young people leave.
Especially. Because, yeah. As I said, I don't see them coming back. I see other people coming to take their place, looking for that nesting, that sure. Hunterdon County quality of life. But I don't see the young people coming back. Al, we're at our end of time. It's been very interesting to talk to you.
Good talking with you.
And yeah. I would like to have you on again in the near future, and we could take this down a level, up a level, sideways to a level, and by then maybe we'll know a little bit more about what has happened with Mark joining the county. It seems like we're taking some good, necessary next steps. We've got the SEDS project complete. As a result of it, we've hired Mark. We're identifying some business coming in. It's not like it's all lost. It's just still concerning because we're seeing the results of not a lot happening now, diminishing the employment opportunities and then the people that are here. So yeah. Al, thanks again.
We want it to happen today.
Yeah, right, today.
Got to put up with the time element.
You got it. Thanks well, again. I'm going to sign you off, and I'll
good.
Keep
good
in touch.
With you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So once again, this was Joe Peters at Real Estate Matters. I'm going to go through one more commercial that I missed, and then I'll play you a little about my background, and then we're going to sign off here as well.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hello again. This is Joe Peters at Real Estate Matters. I'm an agent with Weichert in Clinton, New Jersey. You just heard my little one-minute commercial there, maybe a little over a minute, and I cover all of Hunterdon and Somerset. If you're thinking about buying or selling in the next year, we probably should be talking at this point in time. I can be reached at 908-238-0118, or you can go onto my site at jpeters.com, and there's a ton of information out there. I will be back next week with my 55-plus format, and what we're going to feature next week is a gentleman that is in his senior years that has written his first book. And we're going to go back through the process of the book, a little about what's in the book, and how he came to do that. It might be an inspiration to all of us. Once again, thanks for joining me. I'll be back next week, and we'll talk at that point. Joe Peters, Weichert Realtors, signing off.
Radio News with Audrey Strong.
A new revelation is showing the administration is endangering our troops. Senior correspondent Jason Wirt has more.
A shocking new report is showing that both the Marines and Air Force have had to take parts off aircraft in museums just to keep active duty aircraft flying because of Obama administration cuts to the military budget. Justin Johnson of the Daily Signal tells USA Radio News the dire state of our air fleet comes from a president who is anti-military.
Well, I think it's